It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
Last night was one of those nights when I woke up at 5 a.m. and just couldn't get back to sleep. On such occasions, which thankfully only occur every few weeks, my mind hums with the recollection of tasks undone. Counting sheep? A calming route back to sleep. Counting undone items on your to-do list? Quite the opposite. With each additional undone task, I also imagine more dire and dire consequences until I'm certain that I face catastrophic failure, homelessness, and freezing to death on the street. Typically, daylight casts all these concerns in a new, far less dire light. Usually, by the time I've finished my first cup of coffee, I realize I can get back to procrastinating. Those tasks I agonized about just a few hours earlier, maybe I'll get to them next month. But not this morning. As my guests for the past week, friends Eric and Paul and Eric's dog Lily, packed up to leave, I checked the forecast and saw predicted temperatures for the coming week dipping down as low as 31 at night. October may have been frost-free, but November will not be. Some tasks I can put off no longer. Paul helped me yesterday by steadying the extension ladder as I installed those upstairs windows in the most precarious and highest locations. But I still have 8 upstairs windows and the entire downstairs to get done. In the garden, the pepper plants are still loaded with peppers that will shrivel to worthlessness with a frost. I must also harvest all the beans, the daikon radishes, zucchinis, and tromboncino squashes, and must dry bunches of mint before the frost similarly destroys those. Soon the sheep will have little grass to graze on, and I have to make sure the several hundred bales of hay I ordered to sustain them through the winter get here this week. I must get to work. Or should I chill out and find a better cure for my anxieties? After seeing the documentary Fantastic Fungi this week about the world of mushrooms and those who study and grow them, I wondered. According to this 2019 film, mushrooms are part of a family of beings which are neither plant nor animal, but which are essential connectors between the two fungal networks of very fine mycelia, threads of natural polymers, including proteins, are ubiquitous in the ground beneath us and serve as not only the root system, so to speak, of the mushrooms, but also as communications networks for trees and conduits through which trees and other plants may share nutrients. The mushrooms we pick and eat, or we see are the ones, the part we're seeing growing above ground, are only the fruits of these underground networks. The mushrooms produce spores, which are akin to seeds and which are carried in the air to establish new fungi elsewhere. The fungi grow by transforming decaying plant matter, such as dead trees, into energy. As mushrooms feed on decaying matter, they in turn feed both animals, which eat them, and plants, which take advantage of the underground mycelium network for nutrient transfers. Mushrooms are presented in this film as an essential linchpin of life, enabling the global system of energy exchange in which each living being serves as food for another. From that perspective, I should be perfectly content with leaving frost-shriveled vegetables out in the garden, recognizing that they will not be wasted, but will serve as food for something, or will return nutrients to the ground. I should be equally comfortable with my own mortality, too, knowing that I am just a temporary assemblage of bits of the universe's energy, and that when I die, those bits of energy will be reabsorbed and reassembled into other life forms. I was already very comfortable with that view of the cosmos before watching this film, even if I did not understand mushrooms to be such an important part of the system. I appreciate the new perspective the film gave me on that energy system, and it certainly made me wonder about the particular qualities of the odd mushrooms I come across in the backyard. But I was not entirely convinced that mushrooms have the supreme, almost mystically central role in life that the movie implied. It suggested, through a scientist who said it was a plausible theory, that the human brain grew so rapidly as we evolved from other primates because our ancestors ate magic, as in psychedelic mushrooms, like psilocybin. The synesthesia, the melding of sensations of like sight and sound that one experiences tripping on a psychedelic drug, is suggested to have been how we came to establish the supposedly distinctive human trait of language. Further, by almost mystical coincidence, humans who eat magic mushrooms now can, according to the film, experience the reality of being part of the universal energy system. They actually feel that reality. And to do so, we learn, brings peace to people who are anxious because they're dying of terminal illness. The film goes on to describe the nutritional and medicinal benefits of various varieties of mushroom, including as cures for cancer. It's preceded by a warning that you should only take mushrooms with the guidance of your doctor, but I don't expect that's how the general public will respond to this movie. As my friend Steve says, people put a lot of hope in mushrooms, including me. I'm secretly hoping that microdosing mushrooms will solve all of my problems and give me peace and happiness and joy, because therapy seems like so much work. If I were magically inclined, I'd wonder if it was some supernatural order that caused Eric and me to do a champignon jigsaw puzzle depicting hundreds of mushroom varieties earlier in the week before we even heard about the movie. But my general approach might be better described not as magical, but as a cynical mystery tour. The anthropologist in me came away from the film with the distinct impression that we're seeing the growth of a mushroom cult that has taken the very real-world benefits of mushrooms, be they as energy transfer agents, medicines, or food, and exploded them into a quasi-religion, one with a multi-million-dollar business in propagating and selling mushrooms along for the ride. That said, the farmer in me welcomes having a natural product, newly in vogue, that one can cultivate and sell. If Steve, who keeps threatening to move to the farm, wants to realize his fantasy of building a structure here that enables growing tons of mushrooms super fast, he's more than welcome to come give it a try.
Agriculture is underwritten by Takana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.